we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
We are in the fourth week of our series. What is it called? Is and isn't. Life requires you to know what is and what isn't. Some of you know what it feels like to buy something thinking it is. You get it home, you unwrap it, and it isn't. You go online and you're like, oh my goodness, this is so awesome. What an awesome price I get on this antique piano. But then you get it home and it comes in the mail. It came in the mail, yeah, and it's you didn't read close enough. It's actually only this tall. There are things like that in the world. Like, it isn't what you thought it would be. Life can be confusing if you confuse what is and what isn't. My name is Chris Fluitt. I'm the lead pastor here at Redemption Church. I greet everybody that's watching us online, Facebook Live or whatnot, YouTube, Vimeo, podcasts, all of that stuff. And of course, I greet you guys that are in the room. I love you guys. I'm so glad that you are here with me today. Week one, we told you that Jesus is fully God and he is fully man. But we also told you Jesus isn't like the Pharisees. Week two, we told you that their church is built by Jesus, and it is built right by the gates of hell. We also told you the church isn't a club for perfect people. Week three, we told you that faith is essential, and God has given everyone a measure of faith. But we also told you faith isn't having all the answers, and it isn't a free get out of jail card. If you have questions about what is or isn't in life, we have an anonymous text line, 214-856-0550. I get questions on this weekly, but can I tell you, I probably don't get enough questions. You get this number down, I want you to put it in your phone. If you ever have questions about faith, if you ever have questions about life, you have questions about, Pastor Chris, how is it that you are so good looking? Any of those questions, you let me know on our anonymous text line. And I do mean it's anonymous. We won't know that it is you telling me that I am beautiful. All right. Today, we are going to talk to you about you is and you isn't. All right. All right, grammar police, you grammar Nazis out there, I get it. It's actually you are and you aren't, but I wanted to keep a theme here. You are and you aren't. Look at somebody, say you are and you aren't. It's important to know who you are and who you aren't. Do you agree? Yeah. LeBron James is probably the best basketball player in the world. Do you realize how much I hated writing that sentence? And to read that sentence out loud, please forgive me. I will be in the altar after the service. My goodness. LeBron James, let's face it, he's probably the best basketball player in the world. But he would make the worst horse jockey in the world. I want you to think about LeBron James, that big studly dude that is built like a truck, right? Big guy. Now picture him on a horse trying to, come on, go. And that horse is like, get off me, man. Get off. Have you ever seen a horse jockey? If you walk up to a horse jockey, you are probably taller than a horse jockey. Yeah, they are tiny, tiny people. He could be an all-time great forward in basketball history, or he could be the worst horse racer of all time. The only difference is what he decides to be in life. All right? Can you imagine how different his life would be if he would have decided he was going to be a horse jockey? Now, I got to tell you, this is one of the dangers in life because we love this truth in America. You can be whatever you set in your heart to be. And I love the heart that's behind that, but it's not always true. No, if you're 7 foot tall, I am sorry, you are not going to be a championship horse jockey. But there is something you can be a champion at. I want you to find it. And so when it comes to our kids, I want you to give them all kinds of encouragement. Yeah, go out and live your dream and go out and do that. But also find what you can be a champion at and go do that. Can I tell you that you can be a champion with Jesus Christ? Why don't you try that today? You can be a champion with the Lord Jesus. Have you ever tried being something that you just aren't? I'm just not that. I'm not it. In junior high, I tried to be cool. I'm watching you. Do not laugh. It's too late. She laughed. In junior high, for about a week, I tried to be cool. It's a true story. I tried. I tried really hard. But I interpreted cool as doing something that people liked. Right? And so, stupid me, I thought, well, you know what? They like other people, and they curse, and that's something I don't do. So, yes, Katrina. So, me, in junior high, I'm like, I'm going to be cool. I am going to curse. And so I just went around, and I just started dropping curse words here or there. I was awkward with it. I wasn't good at it. I'm not good at it still, and which is why it's good that I'm a pastor. All right. Here's what happened. I would drop a curse word, and people would, like, look at me, like, and they stop laughing. They just start laughing at me. What did you just say? I'm like, yeah, bleep. Because they realized that wasn't who I was. Can I tell you, young people that know Jesus, when you are out trying to live a life that's not like Jesus, people know that that's not you. I don't know what you're trying to pull here, but it's funny to the world when you try to be something you aren't, all right? It's never cool to try to be someone you aren't, all right? Think for a moment how different our lives would be if we spent all our energy trying to be something that we just aren't. God says some things about you, about who you are and who you aren't. And you need to know both sides of that equation right there. One thing it tells you is this: you are not your own. Look at somebody and say that. You are not your own. You know that scripture? It's found in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. Just says it right, plain and simple. You were bought with a price, verse 20 says. Look at that. You were bought with a price. If you own something, it means you bought it. You aren't your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Man, we could spend some time preaching this because people think they have a right to do whatever they want with their body. People think they have a right to do whatever they want with their life. That would be true if you belong to you. But you were bought with a price. You are not your own. You don't belong to yourself. There's a creator, and you belong to him. And let me tell you, if you think that's a drag, you got it all wrong. That's the greatest thing, because the most benevolent, loving creator loves you, and you belong to him, and he'll meet all your needs. He'll save you when you need saving. He'll forgive you when you need forgiven. He's going to take you from this earth to heaven and provide all your needs and wipe every tear from your eye. That's not a bad thing. Look at somebody and say, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Now, this makes sense, but we don't always live life like we belong to the Creator. We make our own decisions without consulting God. Just make our own decisions. We become worried rather than trust in God. We often go our own way when God has clearly told us differently. We do that. That's us. We do that. But I got to remind you, you are not your own. You need to listen to what God tells you to do. You need to actually involve him in your decisions. Can I tell you? It is not stupid to pray before you buy that car. It is not dumb to pray before you go on that job interview. It is not dumb to pray before you go out on that date. I don't want God all up in my business. Until you're all boo-hooing because it all fell apart. Then you want God all up in everything. Shake your head. Was that sassy or was that just silly? I'm still trying to be cool. And it's not working out. I need your help. Pray, church. Pray. All right. Therefore, you should honor God with all that you are. Because you aren't your own. You don't make your own decisions. You don't make your own choices. Your trust is in a higher power. So guess what? Then you should honor God with every decision. You should honor God instead of worrying, I'm going to honor the Lord. And you should go His way and do it not like, oh, I'm a Christian, I have to do this. No, do it and honor and worship Him every step of the way. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Aren't you glad God doesn't leave us to be our own? Let me explain that. You aren't your own savior. What if He would have left you, Milton, to be your own savior? Sarah, what if He would have left you to be your own healer? What if He would have left you to be your own counselor, your own comforter? Man, we'd be in trouble. Raise your hands if you'd be in trouble. Thank goodness that God doesn't leave us alone. The Bible says He will never leave us or forsake us. And here is why He doesn't leave you alone. Oh, it's because He's a power, like just hungry for power, right? Yeah, it's just like He's just got an attitude and He's a control freak, right? No. Here's why He doesn't leave you alone. You are loved.
Amen. All
right. He loves you. Yeah. He won't leave you alone. You wouldn't leave a baby alone in a car if you loved that baby.
Right?
Right? God loves you. And this is the most important thing that you can know about you. The most important thing you can know about you is that God loves you. The most important thing you can know in life. You will never learn anything bigger at school, in college, work in a job. You'll never learn anything bigger in a relationship than this fact that you are loved. In fact, you are not a complete being. You are missing out part of who you are until you understand that. And you will never have the relationship that you ought to have in life with another human being until you understand that you are loved. You're going to be running to a drug. You're going to be running to alcohol. You're going to be running to a relationship after relationship. You're going to be running to a paycheck. You're going to be running to things after one after another until you realize who your true identity is. You are loved by God.
Amen.
He loves you. He won't ever leave you alone. Don't let anyone tell you you aren't loved. That is an absolute lie. I would tell you where that lie came from. It came from the devil. That's exactly where it came from. If you know that God loves you, you most likely remember the moment you realized He loves you. Quick show of hands. Anybody remember the moment they realized God loves them? You have that moment. It's an indelible moment. You can't just walk away from that moment. I forget where I put my car keys, but I don't forget the moment where my soul came in contact with the lover of my soul. I remember it indelibly. I love to tell that story. Anybody love to tell that story? You ought to be in love with the story of how you came to know God loves you. My goodness, you should be quick to tell the story of how God loves you. That's your testimony. I tell you what, the world needs more of that. We need to find opportunities to tell that on the job, to tell that in our classrooms, to tell that in our homes, to tear that to the next person that's in front of us. John 3:16. I hope you know this verse, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. How about this one? Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. Herein is love. Here it is. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 10. For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son. God's love is not dependent on your actions. It doesn't say, when the world gets its act together, then God's going to so love the world that He's going to give His only begotten Son. It doesn't say, man, when you finally get over that secret sin that you've been hiding from everybody, then Christ is going to die for you. When you finally make it down to the altar, then Jesus is going to climb up on the cross for you. No, it says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that is defining his love. God's love for you isn't dependent on your actions. God loves us while we are sinners, while we are his, it says, enemies. He loves us. You shouldn't feel worthless. You should feel worthwhile. That God loves you. You are loved. Can you clap your hands in the house if you really believe that sentence? You are loved. I'm telling you, that's something worth getting excited about. I want to tell you this. You are victorious. Now, I might be preaching to some people today. You don't feel victorious. But we don't walk by feeling. We walk by faith. And faith comes by hearing the word of God. So let me hit you with some word of God. Romans 8:37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, let me tell you, that is different for us because we think we are conquerors by having a bigger weapon than the enemy. We have a bigger gun than the other guy. We have more money than the other guy. That we're able to do something that the other guy can't do. That we have a nuclear bomb and they don't. But it says that your weapon is better than the enemy. That you are a conqueror in all things, more than a conqueror. Why? Because you have the love of God. Verse 38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now let me get this right. You are more than a conqueror through what? Through his love. You're more than a conqueror through his love. And then nothing can separate you from his love. Let me say that one more time. You are more than a conqueror through his love. And then nothing can separate you from his love. My goodness, those are two facts. If you have those two facts in your head, you should never feel like a loser. You should absolutely be victorious in every situation. You should be brave because you have the love of Jesus and you know nothing can separate you from it. Through his love, you are more than conquerors. You are victorious. Do you realize what it takes to have victory in life is these just two steps? Realize that God loves you and then just stay in his love. Stay in his love. You know what worship is? It's staying in his love. You know what opening up the word of God and pouring over it and reading it and hearing the word of God, and that's staying in his love. You know what talking to God is? It's staying in his love. I tell you what, when you feel guilty, you ought to just run to the love of Jesus. You ought to fall on your knees and stay in his love because that's where your victory is always. Can I tell you something? You aren't. This is important. You aren't disposable. Now, there have been people in life, they probably treated you like disposable, right? You got disposable plates, little red Solo cups. What's so great about those? You use them and then you throw them away. Some of you feel just like that. I want to tell you, God says you aren't disposable. God is committed to you, not just while you are making good decisions, but and not just even in this life, but for all eternity, he is committed to you. For all eternity, for the long haul, God is committed to you. Humanity isn't disposable. Adam and Eve fell in the garden. Did God just wad them up and throw them away? Throw them away? No. Mankind is completely broken, but God has been walking with them. Did Israel ever mess up? You ever read the Bible? Israel messed up time and time again, but God walked with them. God kept sending them his word. God kept making covenant with them. God kept coming back to them. Why? Because they aren't disposable. God's not going to throw them away. You aren't disposable either. God is with you even to the end of the world, Jesus says. What do we do with broken things? We usually throw them away and we get a new one. God could have done this with humanity. He could have said, well, tried it with humans. Come over here, chimpanzees. Let's work this out. Right? He could have. God could have disposed of Adam and Eve, but his loving actions just prove that humanity is not disposable. You aren't disposable. Could you say that to yourself? To yourself, say it. You aren't disposable. I'm not disposable. The world average for life expectancy is around 68 years old. But God's commitment to you goes far beyond your final breath. God made you an eternal soul. You are an eternal soul that's trapped in a temporal human body. Do you know that about you? That your body, it might last 68 years and then you give up the ghost. That's the world average. It's even better in America that we live longer, but that's a longer story. But the idea is that you die and then that's all there is. No, God is so committed to you past your final breath. He's going to redeem you. He's going to raise you. He has created a place for you and he to be together forever. You aren't disposable. Your soul will spend eternity in one of two places. Somebody say them with me. Number one is heaven. Say the other one. Hell, I tell you what, the church doesn't use that word enough. Hell is a real place. And you are an eternal soul and you will spend one of those, your soul will spend eternity in one of those two places. You will either be in heaven or you will be in hell. Guess where God wants you to be? He wants you to be in heaven. He gave his only son that whosoever believes in him would not perish in hell, but have everlasting life in heaven. Matthew 25:46 says this, then they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. God has made a way for you not to go into eternal punishment, but to go into eternal life. That way has a name. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way is Jesus Christ. Can somebody say it's Jesus? Do you know where you will spend eternity? You really need to know that. If you don't know that, why don't you get on our anonymous text line, talk to us. If you don't know that, why don't you meet us in this altar today? You can make a decision today that will take you all the way to heaven today to be with Jesus forever. And if you would do that today, all of heaven would come unglued celebrating, the Bible says, and your church would go crazy too, all right? We want to talk to you about it. So if you don't know, please talk to about us. Anyone online, please, please, you hear me? Please, let's talk about it. God doesn't seek to dispose of you. Instead, you are a new creation. Instead of throwing you away, he makes you brand new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. If anyone is in Christ. Oh, man. You mean only the rich people? You mean only, you know, the people that live in nice houses? No. If anyone is in Christ. Well, only Americans, right? No, if anyone is in Christ, maybe some kind of race thing, only certain races. No, if anyone is in Christ, it doesn't say if anyone who hasn't done this list of sins is in Christ. It doesn't say that. It says if anyone is in Christ, raise your hand big and tall if you are proud to say you are in Christ. I am in Christ. I'm brand new. Don't talk about those old things because they're gone away and God's new has come. That'll talk to you about. There are some things in life you should let go away. If those things that keep bringing up your past, that turns out to be your enemy after so long. After the altar, after the cross, those things are things that your enemy would say. Let those things go. Now, let's be clear. The Bible doesn't say you can turn over a new leaf. You've heard that term, right? I'm going to turn over a new leaf. Let me tell you, it's just only a matter of time before you mess up the other side of the leaf, right? Right? It doesn't say that you can do incrementally better. It says you are a new creation. You are a brand new creature. Do you remember when he made a new earth back there in Genesis 1? Do you remember that? Brand new. That's what he does to you. He's the one that can do that because he just speaks and it happens. He speaks Rob Spry's name and he's new. He speaks Alex's name. And he's new. Do you realize that we're talking about the creator here? I'm happy to tell you, you aren't once an addict, always an addict. Or I'm just trying to, you know, do incrementally better. I'm trying to turn over a new leaf. You won't always be depressed or unhappy because you aren't the person you used to be. You aren't the drug addict anymore. You are a brand new creature in Christ. Your problems and mistakes, they no longer define you. The creator now defines you. God changes all of that. You are a brand new absolute creation. It's like all your DNA is completely new. It's like every bit of your cellular makeup is completely new. You have a new name. You have a new identity. You have a new breath of life inside of you. Every part of you is brand new. Oh man, and the enemy, he doesn't like to hear that. You need to believe that with all your heart. You ought to rejoice in that. You ought to worship God like you're brand new. You know what? I can't stand Christians who aren't brand new. It drives me bonkers. Let me tell you, I remember the very night God filled me with the Holy Spirit. It was January 24th, 1988. That night, God made me brand new. That wasn't the last time God has made me brand new. He makes me brand new all the time. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. He makes me new all the time. Every time I come to church, I ought to worship him like I'm a brand new Christian, like I'm somebody that just got saved, because God is making me new. He's making me new. Every time you hear the truth about Jesus, you ought to rejoice with a brand new rejoicing, a brand new joy, because he's making you new. I tell you what, every church in America, we need God to shake us and make us realize he's trying to make us new instead of old, dead, dried up churches. We need to be brand new. God knows a thing or two about creation. He spoke everything into existence. And he can do the same for you right now. Do you believe that? We're going to be closing in just a moment. I would like our musician to come. I want to tell you this last point. It's very simple, but it's profound and it's big. And you might just yawn through it and say, oh, I've always known that, Pastor Chris. Well, just listen to me like you've never heard it before here. You are a friend. You are a friend to Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ looks at you, and you were an enemy. We read that scripture earlier. But now he refers to you as a friend. I hate feeling like an outsider. Anybody lift your hands, is that true? Trying to feel cool, trying to act cool. Don't, if I'm not cool, I'll liable to curse at you. Have you ever felt like an outsider? Yeah, it stinks, man. It's awful. It's awful. Sin brings separation between you and God. Sin makes you an outsider to God. Sin makes you an outsider to all the blessings God wants to give you. Sin makes you an outsider to the heaven he wants to take you to. Sin makes you an outsider to the power that he wants to bring into your life, to the purpose he wants to bring you to. Sin makes you an outsider. But Jesus says something amazing in John 15 and verse 15. Look at this verse. I no longer call you, somebody tell me the next word, servants. I no longer call you servants because, oh, I like because, that means he's going to explain what he means. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Isn't that true? The boss man just tells you to go do something. He doesn't just stick around and explain it to you. He's like, go do it. That's how you treat servants. That's how you treat workers. The boss tells you to go do something, you just go do it. And you're like, could you please explain to me why the intricacies? And they're like, I pay your paycheck. Is that simple enough? Go do it. You understand me? I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. Why? For everything that I learned from my Father, I made known to you. You see, somebody that works for you, that's a servant, you don't have to explain anything to them. You just tell them to go do it. And if they don't go do it, you fire them and you go find somebody else. That's just really simple. That's how it worked when Jesus walked the earth. It is still how the world operates. But Jesus says, no, it's not like that. You're not somebody that's a servant of mine. You're a friend of mine. And I have shared all the secret things that I've learned from my Father. I have brought you right into the vision of the whole company. I've brought you right into what the whole kingdom is about. In fact, I've given you the keys to this kingdom. I've given you opportunity to walk in this kingdom and be a part of this kingdom. And that is what a friend is. Not a servant, but a friend. Are you following me? You're more than a servant. You're more than a servant. God's not here today just telling you what to do. He's not just standing here today not explaining what he wants in your life. But Jesus calls you friend and has shared everything. Say the word everything. Jesus has shared everything that he learned from the Father in heaven. Everything that he learned from the Father in heaven, he's sharing with you right now. That's what a friend is. That's what a friend is. Do you realize that maybe we aren't walking as a friend enough with Jesus? Because he's got this knowledge for us, but we never talk to him. He has given us the word of his power. It's written down in your Bible, but we don't touch that. That his presence wakes up you up every day. You wake up, his presence is already there. You don't acknowledge it. Is that a friend? And what we're missing out is everything from the Father. Do you understand? Have you felt like you were on the outside? I want to tell you, God is calling you into his plan. Who you are, he has created a role for you in his plan and in his kingdom. That's how important you are. And the enemies of your life, which sometimes is us, will tell us all things about what we actually aren't. And what Jesus tells us we are, that's the actual truth. You are not an outsider today. You're a friend. He can wash away all your sins. You're no longer an outsider. He can bring you right into the center of this. I want to tell you, if you're hearing my voice right now and you've got no plan, no purpose for your life, if you feel like there's nothing that you can do in life that amounts to any good, you got it all wrong. You are a friend of God. He's calling you into it. Will you come be a part of it today? Have you been listening to what others say about you? I want you to listen to what God says about you. Now here's the deal. You don't fake friendship. Is that right? You don't fake friendship. You know what fake friendship is like? Oh, hey, Susie, how are you? Oh, yeah, it's Susie. Oh, that would be great to hang out with you. It sure would. But, you know, we've got plans. Yeah, you know. Oh, it's stuff. I don't want to bore you with it. Click. Let's restart Netflix. All right. World is full of fake friends. Can I give you one of these? Oh, here I am at church. Oh, amen, pastor. That's some good preaching. Oh, good job. Praise him. Oh, I like that song. Oh, that's so good. Yes. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. All right. We about done here? That's fake friendship. I tell you, the Lord Jesus needs some true friends in this house. Would you come to this altar as a true friend? Would you come to this place saying, God, you said that you would reveal everything that you received from the Father to me as your friend. Would you receive, would you reveal that to me right now? These altars are open. You don't have to wait one moment. Oh, this room up here is open to friends. Any friends of God in this house, why don't you come? That's who you are. You're not an outsider. You belong here. You belong in the altar because you aren't an outsider. You're an insider. You're part of the family of God. Why don't you come to the table of God? Why don't you receive from Him in this place? If you want special prayer, I want to invite you in the first 2 feet. That just lets us know you want us to pray for you. We're going to pray that God will be everything that you need Him to be. And He is that. And that God reveal to you everything that you are. And He would save you from every lie that tells you what you are, but you really aren't. In the name of Jesus. Come on, in this place, let's really talk to God in this house. Let's really reach out to Him. Let's really be a friend of God in this place. Father, I pray for every person that's in this house. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would receive Your presence. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would be, Lord, a friend of Yours and that they would receive everything that You've got for them. Father, in Jesus' name, they are no longer outsiders, but by the grace, by the blood, by the love of God, they are made overcomers. They are made family members. They are made children of the Most High God. Lord, we speak it all in the name of Jesus. Let them walk in it, God, not just in this moment, but let them walk in it daily, Father. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, Redemption Church, let's talk to God in this house. They're going to be singing, but I want you to be lifting up your voice to God. I want you to be talking to Him. Don't let this moment pass. Don't be a fake friend. Really reach out to Him in this house in the name of Jesus.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.